Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Dream On, Lucid Dreaming and Sleep. As usual, this is your host, Jennifer, and today's episode is very special because it's a Halloween special. So for today's episode, I asked my patrons what they'd like to see in an episode, and I had them vote. And unfortunately, I didn't give them a ton of time, just a couple days, but I took those opinions, and I'm moving forward with this episode. And now I'm going to get into like a little bit of a description of what I want to get to in this episode. And overall, I have like a nice story time lined up for the beginning of a dream that I just had like this week. So it's very fresh and it's very on theme. It's like a nice zombie dream. And then after that, I want to get into some scary lucid dreaming myths. And then we'll just see where this episode takes us. I had some other ideas that I could include in it, but if it gets long, you know, then we're just going to leave it there. So I just want to see how it develops, and I think we're just going to kind of get started, you know? I mean, happy Halloween. Even if you don't celebrate, this is still going to be a fun episode, because the theme is like a little bit spooky, but it's going to be fun still. So hold on to your hats, hold on to your butts, stay in your seat, buckle in, and let's begin with the zombie dream story time. Okay, y'all. So I have the notebook in front of me, and just jumping into the story, right? I want to remind everyone that I write down my dreams as soon as I wake up. So I have like every detail in here. And so this is like very accurate to how the dream actually went in terms of like the storyline and the pacing and the details and stuff. So I'm not fabricating anything. I know that sometimes people do that, and like, I just don't trust my memory like that. So I just want to say, like, all this stuff is in the journal. It all happened, and it's still like a pretty good story. I was pretty impressed with this one because normally my dreams are not able to hold on to like a coherent storyline all the way through. But this one pretty much did all the way until the end. Things got a little bit wonky there because I started waking up, but like, it was still coherent enough to stay on theme. And overall, it's a pretty fun story. So at the very beginning of this dream, okay, I was fleeing these hordes of zombies. And when I say zombies, I don't mean that they were like decaying, like gross zombies. They just looked like normal people, except that they walked in that slow, like weird way that zombies do. And also they were like trying to like reach out and like eat your brain. So brain eating zombies, okay, but they're not decaying and gross looking. They are very slow. That's the kind of zombies we're dealing with in this dream. And I was fleeing these hordes of zombies with a bunch of college students, but because the zombies were so slow, we were all pretty slow as well, because it's kind of one of those things, right, where you're in a long haul, they're pursuing you, but if you just like start running, then eventually you're going to slow down because you're going to be tired. So instead, because this is like a long game, the goal is to essentially not like slow down, like, because then they'll catch you, right? So you got to save your stamina. So we're all moving at like a moderate pace to stay out of their grasp, but also not like so fast that we're going to tire ourselves out. And then we randomly come to this little like office building that has like parking around it. And it's kind of like up on this little like hill in the with the parking lot. And what's weird about this little building is that I say office building, but actually it's just full of like these little like student desks, like a college classroom. And all of the walls are just these big glass windows looking out at the parking lot and the trees that are planted nearby. So we can look outside and see all the zombies that are trying to break in from the door that we just locked. And so it's really just like weird because we're all trapped in what is essentially a glass box with all these zombies around us. And I sit down, okay, because at this point, I don't know if the dream started as lucid, because I'm pretty sure it just started with me in the crowd walking. Like, I think this began with that. But at this point, at least, I'm lucid and I know that it's not real. And so I'm just like sitting there in the classroom and I'm very calm. I'm not afraid of the zombies or anything, but I'm just chilling. And I notice, okay, like everyone hold your breath for this. I look over and I notice that my first love from middle school, who I called Brandon in a previous episode, he's literally like sitting there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like freaking Brandon is here. And so I'm like talking to him. I'm like trying to talk to him so that he'll look over at me. And I'm trying to like stare at his face and like try to remember it for when I wake up. But like I'm looking at him and something just doesn't look right. Like he doesn't look like himself. And I realize in the dream that the reason that he doesn't look like himself is because when I knew him, he was in middle school. And obviously now I am an adult. So like I think my mind tried to like project what he could look like. You know what I mean? Like trying to get that. But obviously you don't really know what someone's going to look like. And so I just was looking at him and I knew that it wasn't quite right because it was just some random dude. It was like a random face and it was supposed to be Brandon, but I knew that that wasn't really him. So I'm looking at him and I'm like, dang, like that's pretty brutal. And then I'm randomly like basically attacked, but not really, by this other freaking girl that I knew in middle school who always shows up in my dreams as a stress symbol. Even though this wasn't really a stress dream, all of a sudden she was there and she was totally high. Like she was sitting next to me, just totally, just like so high that she could barely even process what was going on. And I was so annoyed with her. And she like fell over and like was like just like losing her marbles. And I was like, okay, queen, like no. And someone turned on a movie on like a projector in front of the classroom. And so I stood up. And I moved to the back of the room, okay, as one does, to get away from her. And then some absolute genius runs over to the back of the classroom and they're like, oh, I need to go outside and get my stuff. And they're just like losing it. And everyone else is like, no, but it's like too late. And they open the door. And so all these like slow zombies start getting in, okay? We have slow zombies trickling into the classroom. And now I'm just like, okay, like, what the freak? Like, now I'm going to have to leave. So I turn right around and I have to go out the other doors on the other side of the building. And I'm trying to like rush away, obviously, from the building because I don't want to die. But then as I'm leaving, I realize that I forgot my book on the table. And the book that I forgot on the table was House of Salt and Sorrows by Aaron A. Craig, which was a good book. I think I talked about it on this podcast, but it was not as good as their other books. But in the dream, I was like, oh my gosh, like I literally left House of Salt and Sorrows on the table. And I was pretty sad because it had been keeping me company during the dream, just like having the book. But I had to leave it because now there were zombies right next to it. And I also had this moment where I was like, oh my gosh, like I wish I had Sorcery of Thorns by Margaret Rogerson instead, because I would much rather have that book in this sort of like apocalyptic setting. And that book specifically, Sorcery of Thorns, I've actually had other dreams where like my house was burning down and I always choose to save that one because I have like a really nice copy of it that has green sprayed edges. It's like a beautiful book. And I have like a little note in there from the author. It's crazy. But moving on back to like the dream, I had that moment and then I left. And then as I was leaving, okay, I was caught by like this zombie, but the dude was freaking like 6'4", like literally 6'4". And the reason, okay, the reason I know that he was 6'4" is that in a dream previous to this one, the same night, I had a dream. Tall people need to like chill out for a second. Like I had a dream, okay? And in it, I made a joke about tall people. And I was like making fun of people who were tall. And I don't even remember what I said, but I was like, oh, you know, tall people, like what's even the point of being so tall? Like tall people are inherently useless. Like it was something like that, okay? And I thought that it was so funny in the dream. And I was like crying laughing. And then everyone else in the dream did not think it was funny. And so then I was laughing at them and I literally woke myself up from laughter from that dream after making fun of tall people. So I think that as a result of that, then I went on to have this dream. And of course, this random dude was like so tall specifically because of that. So for this dream, okay, this tall zombie dude, he I knew inherently, I had the inherent knowledge that he was in every way a vampire, but for some reason in the dream, he was a zombie. So like I referred to him as a zombie, I thought of him as a zombie, and he was like the same like species, I guess, as like the slow zombies, but he wasn't like that because he was actually like a vampire and he had those little fangs and stuff. So like he didn't try to eat my brain or anything, but he just like kind of like kept me around, and like I couldn't run away because he had like the Twilight vampire super speed. And so now I was like stuck traveling with this random dude, and we were like walking like through freaking parking lots, and like he was like, okay, you know, we're gonna go this way, and like what was I gonna say, you know, like no, because like he was so fast that I couldn't leave. And yes, I was lucid, but like I was just going with the storyline because it was like fun, like the zombie apocalypse and stuff, the setting was like good. So I was like, okay, like I want to see where this is going. And so we were traveling, we traveled through like a little stream bed in like a neighborhood. We came to a neighborhood that was all decorated for Halloween. And then specifically, one of the things about this dream that really stuck with me that was like so weird when I woke up was that there was this house, okay? And I need to get this specifically from here because I want to know the details. So there was a home in this neighborhood, all right? And it was absolutely covered in spider webs, just like coated in spider webs. It had a wraparound porch and it was literally all spider webs. You could not see the home underneath the webs. You just knew that it was there because all the spider webs created a web-shaped house. And spun out on like a sign in the webs, it said, "Entomologists, please take advantage." And I wanted to like stop and really ponder that. But the tall dude was like, no, like we're gonna keep going. And I was like super annoyed because I wanted to like check that out because I was like, what the heck? Like, entomologists take advantage, like spelled out in a spider web. That's funny. But, you know, we continued on and we kept going. And then we got to somewhere that was like actually pretty scary in the dream, like, especially given like the jokes that I had made in the previous dream of like tall people being useless. Now I was like really grateful to be with this dude that was like super tall and like a pretty scary looking person, giving the like vampiric traits that he had. Like, we came to what was essentially a vampire sports bar that had like, I'm trying to like remember like what the wall setup was. Essentially, it was missing two walls, like the building was. So it was completely open on two sides. And it wasn't like a walkthrough, like a pass through kind of open. It was like at where a corner should be, those two connecting walls, they were not there. So there were two walls that connected in a corner. And then where the other two walls should have connected in a corner, there just were not walls on those two sides, period. So the walls next to each other. I hope that that makes sense. But like, there was one corner in the building and there was the ceiling and like the roof and everything. And it went up into like a super tall, almost like a skyscraper kind of building, I think. Like, it was a tall building, but for some reason on that bottom level, there just was like not any walls. And that was like freaky. But like, people in there were scary. Like, they were looking at me and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm gonna die. And I was like sticking close to the tall guy. And like I said, I was like, dang, like I should not have made fun of tall people because this is like my protection right now, this random dude. And I still did not know what the heck we were doing. And then all of a sudden, okay, I like shift to a different point of view and I'm watching like a different girl and the same dude. And now the story completely changes. And now we're in like a Twilight romance scenario and the girl and him are like a couple. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, how are they going to be a couple? Like, he's literally a vampire and she's a person. Like, how is that going to work out? And I'm like, well, you know, like, and this is me thinking like while I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, well, like he can't just turn her into a vampire because then he'd be a bad person. Like, no one wants that. He would be objectively just a bad person, because nobody wants to live forever and nobody wants to be a monster. And if you do, there's a problem with you. So, and I'm just making that blanket statement. There might be a little issue there, but, but this girl, okay, and him, they're together now. And I'm watching them from this like aerial camera point of view, like a movie. And they're standing on a football field that's right next door to the sports bar that we were just at. And then all of a sudden, okay, it like jump cuts and the girl is falling from the sky from a helicopter. And like, I watch her die violently, as you can imagine happens when someone falls from a helicopter, except she's not like quite dead. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, and then there's like the cliche where she's like dying, but then he like saves her life by like turning her. And I get like so annoyed watching this. And then the dream just like ends like that, where I'm just like watching and I'm like so annoyed because I'm like, oh my gosh, like I should have seen that coming. Like it was so predictable. Of course that happened. It was like this whole thing. So, I mean, I think that actually brings us to the end of the zombie dream. So, all in all, okay, it wasn't really that scary, but it was on theme because there were zombies and that they resembled vampires. So I think it all counts. But like I said, very interesting dream, quite funny. I think that, you know, joke's on me for making fun of tall people in that earlier dream, because that joke was really funny in the moment. But, you know, I would not have made it when I was in that vampire sports bar, when my only protection was the 6'4" random dude. Moving on past that delightful story, I would like to add that, okay, last night, right? This has nothing to do with any of this, but I want to share it because it's funny. Last night, I had a dream, and in it, I was like in this hotel, and I had traveled back in time to be on, like, not like for the purpose of being on the show, but I was like on a reality dating TV show in order to solve a murder. So I was like an undercover detective on a reality TV show. And it was only like the first round, and I wasn't trying to get past the round. I just needed to like be there to investigate. So I was staying in a hotel to be on the show, and I got assigned my room like at the front desk. I like gave them my name and they were like, oh yeah, you're in room 24. And so I went into the staircase to go to my room. And as I was going up the staircase, all right, there's like this dude, and I think he was like a ginger, like hair color. I think he was like a short ginger man. And he was like walking and he had all these bags, like so many. He had like a backpack and like a heavy duffel and then like another duffel bag. And he was going so slowly behind me because he just could not move with all of his bags. And I got like a little bit annoyed in the dream. Like I was like, bruh, do you want me to like take one of those for you? Or, and he gave me like this weird look, but he like gave me a bag and was like, oh, thanks. And so I was taking his bag for him. And then we got to a stair landing. And then all of a sudden, he takes out a can of spray paint from one of his bags and just like fully starts like vandalizing the inside of the staircase. And I drop my bag and he drops the rest of his bags and he takes off running down the stairs. And he just like leaves me with all of his paints and stuff standing on the staircase with paint fully drying in front of me. And I had to like call for help. It was like a whole thing. Like he was like, he fully got away, but he was like framing me for like a crime. And it was like insane. I woke up this morning and I was like, dang, like he really just pulled that. So that was funny. That was last night. And oh my goodness, that was wild. Okay, not to turn this into like a full story time, but if you have not heard the new album by Maggie Rogers, you need to go listen. And specifically the song Horses, oh My goodness. I had another dream recently, like fully getting into like another mini story time. This will only take a second. I had another dream recently that was not good. Like it was not good at all. In the dream, I was like, I had like a, what is it called? I had a terminal diagnosis for something. And so I was fully like dying and I only had so long to live. And then the dream was set to Horses by Maggie Rogers. And I was singing the song in the dream and crying. Like in the dream, I had like tears pouring out of my eyes. And my vision in the dream was fully blurred by tears in my eyes, even though it's a dream and there aren't any actual tears. And then I woke up and just like, just tears, dude, just like streaking my face. Like it was actually a devastating dream. It was so rough, but I woke up from that one. Oh my goodness. But I still really recommend the song, especially because it's not really a song about death at all, but it is so good and it really just hits like, oh my gosh. So go listen to Maggie Rogers' new album. I can't remember what it's called, but Horses is one of the songs and the whole song is really good. And so is the whole album. So go check those out. Now that I've gotten through this excessively long little, well, not little, large story time portion of this episode, now we're going to talk about some popular lucid dreaming myths that are scary because it's like a little Halloween theme. It's like a little spooky theme today. Perhaps one of the most popular and most common myths within the lucid dreaming community, be it amongst people who have like a lot of experience lucid dreaming or amongst new lucid dreamers, is this whole idea that you shouldn't tell NPCs in your dreams certain things or ask them certain questions, like whatever it is, because otherwise they will supposedly go absolutely insane or like try to kill you or like do something like weird. Like there's this whole idea that like there's a way to like completely turn them against you and make things go insane. And this is a straight up lie. This is what you would call a lie, because the fact is, right, there are no really hard and fast rules in terms of how lucid dreams go, because the whole point is that it's your dream for you specifically. And so even if you and I behaved the exact same way in like each of our own dreams, the whole point is that like our dreams would probably respond very differently to how we acted, because you and I have different personalities and we've experienced different things in our lives. So if I'm someone who has experienced a lot of aggression from other people, maybe the NPCs in my dreams, which is like everyone who's not you in the dream, maybe those people would be more prone to being aggressive because I myself am more expecting of other people to be aggressive. Or maybe I just had a really hard day and so that kind of manifests in my dream. Like whatever the reason is, there's no like actual way to break a dream like this. The whole thing is like, oh my gosh, like don't tell them that you're dreaming because otherwise they'll just go nuts and murder you or whatever. And like, that's a straight up lie. Like, no. And I've talked before on this whole podcast that when I was younger, everyone in my dreams, like the whole dream cast, they reacted much more negatively to the fact that I was having a lucid dream than they do modernly. Like they used to be really cold about it and they used to kind of just ignore me and like go on with their day and almost pretend like I wasn't there, because it seemed to me that they would really just prefer that I was not lucid and that I just kept going along with the flow of the dream. But over the years, probably because my relationship with my lucid dreams and my relationship with myself has changed, their reaction is totally different. Like now, if anything, they will be indifferent, or more likely, they'll actually try to make the experience better for me. And so like, if I'm doing something fun or whatever, like they'll support me and they'll offer to help me and like all these things. Like your NPCs are not like people that you should view as enemies. The whole cast of the dream, that whole like dream population, those are all just mini manifestations of yourself. And this actually brings us to another whole point here. Like there's this idea that in a lucid dream, you shouldn't summon yourself or talk to yourself because of the idea that if you do this, then in a similar way, you can like break the dream or like almost like create like a dream monster. And like, there are also kind of like weird, like spiritual connotations that people attach to this of like, you know, you're talking to like your subconscious or your soul, and like that's dangerous. And like, you can like, I don't know, like hurt your mind or something. And like, dude, I don't know how to explain to you that because a lucid dream takes place all in your mind, every single person and object that you talk to in a dream is already yourself. Like, just because they look like you in the dream doesn't mean that they are any more you than any other random fake person in the dream. Like, if you talk to anyone in a lucid dream at all, then you've already talked to yourself in a lucid dream. And that's kind of just how it works. Like, that's what a lucid dream is. It comes with the territory. Moving on to the next little lucid dreaming myth. There is a very popular myth similar to the don't tell NPCs you're dreaming in its popularity. And this myth is that you shouldn't look in a mirror because otherwise the mirror you will kill you or turn into a monster or like something really, really bad is going to happen. And this is in the same vein of the other things that we've talked about, because the truth is there's no difference between the mirror you that you're looking at and literally anything else in the dream. Like, it's all your mind. It's all made up of you. You are every single person in the dream and yourself. All of it comes from your brain, and there's nothing to differentiate between you and the mirror or the mirror you that you see. Like, everything in the dream is made of the same material. It's all made up of your mind. So I don't know what people are expecting like to be different about this. But this is also something that I've had personal experience with and that I reflected on the podcast, because this is like a really big myth. Like, this is something that people will frequently tell new lucid dreamers to not do. They'll actively tell them to like avoid mirrors and not do that. But the truth is there's just no need to do that, because I personally, okay, looked in a mirror in a lucid dream, and guess what? Guess what I looked like? I was beautiful. My makeup was perfect. My hair looked so good. And I was looking in the mirror and I was like, yes, like I'm slaying this dream. Like, I look awesome. And then I continued on with the dream and nothing bad happened and everything was fine. And if anything, I looked better in that dream mirror than I do in real life. So like, I don't really see what the negative thing is with that. And this is just like one of those harmful things. Like, what all these myths have in common is that these ideas can be really harmful for people, especially people who are just starting to lucid dream, because everything that you say to them has such an influence on their mind, which in turn has such an influence on their dreams, that you can actually create problems for them in dreams that they wouldn't have had if they talked to you. Like, if someone didn't expect that the mirror them would like reach out and kill them, then they probably wouldn't. It's just like something that is implanted in their mind, and then it takes place because that's how dreams work. They're very much, what's it called? They are very much suggestible, and they're very willing to change, and they're very malleable, and you can alter them even on accident very easily by doing things during the day or like watching something scary or even watching something funny and good. Like, dreams change. It's what they do. They are constantly changing, constantly looking for a new storyline and a new plot and like something new and exciting to follow. And that's just how they develop plot-wise. They just keep going and going and going, and they snowball until eventually the dream ends and you like pass out or go to sleep or something in the dream, or maybe even die. It just depends on what the dream is. So these ideas are very harmful to spread around. And part of the reason that I think talking about that in this podcast is so important is because this misinformation, and honestly disinformation, because some people know very well that that's not true and that that's such a lie, but they still spread the rumor, is like, people need to hear that that's not something that necessarily is going to happen. And if it does happen, because you're lucid dreaming, you can just make it stop happening. Or even if you don't want to make it stop happening because it's so scary, just fly away and don't come back. Like, it can't follow you. It's not real. Like, nothing bad is really going to happen. And you need to go into it with confidence and the knowledge that you can handle whatever it is, because none of it's real. And at the same time, like, all of it is just you. And you're not going to hurt yourself, because that's how human self-preservation works. So your mind is going to be good. It's all just like you. And you're going to wake up ultimately. So you're going to leave it all behind anyway, even if it is scary. It'll stay in the dream and you'll wake up and continue on going to work and going to school and all that other stuff. So it's really just all good. The final, no, not the final. my apologies. The next point that I would like to talk about is another pretty common one, but I would say that it's more of like a fringe belief. And I'm going to be calling out shifters again, not to like harp on their community, but they've spread some weird ideas around, guys, the shifters. In many ways, they have poisoned the lucid dreaming well, if you will. One of the ideas that they've spread around is the fact that you can exist in a dream, or more importantly, for our purposes today, be trapped in a dream, even for years. And of course, in the case of shifters, they don't call it a dream. They will call it like literally shifting into another reality. But just for the sake of my own sanity on this podcast, I'm just going to call it a dream because that's what it is. There is an idea within the shifting community, but also in just like the dreaming community, that you can be in a dream and experience the storyline for years, like even decades. And the thing is, that's just not true. Like, I could probably even believe that someone was in a lucid dream for me personally, probably the maximum that I would believe, like, stretching it to would be like 2 hours, maybe. Like, an hour and a half is way easier for me to grasp. But I mean, a typical dream is much shorter than that. So, you know, the whole idea that you can be trapped in a dream for years actually just stems from the fact that in dreams, there are a lot of montages and there are a lot of jump cuts and like sped up scenes. And there are a lot of like memories in dreams that are kind of like implanted. And there's a lot of implied knowledge. So in a dream, when you're dreaming about like, let's say getting ready for bed, okay? In the dream, you're brushing your teeth in a bathroom. And in real life, that is not what your bathroom looks like. But in the dream, you walk in and you're like, ah, yes, my bathroom. Like, you know, in the dream, this is your bathroom. It's implied knowledge. You fully know this is where you are. However, in real life, that does not actually reflect that place. So things like that, that implied knowledge and the jump cut scenes that I even just talked about in my example dreams at the start of this episode, those can make people believe that dreams were in fact much longer than they are. So you can imagine that if you stitch together enough jump cuts and enough of these like implied knowledge kind of scenes, people can believe that they are remembering much longer periods than they really are. But ultimately, I think that if someone truly believes that they spent years in a dream, there is an element to that of really wanting to believe that. Because even then, like, I could probably believe like that a dream could stretch into like days. But if it was like stretching into years, then there have got to be some pretty substantial gaps in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be like seen from year one. Scene from year two. Like, it's gotta be really big gaps in your memory. So, but some people really do believe this, especially when you get into like shifting, but also like the more kind of spiritual side of dreaming. Like, people really believe in these long periods of time spent doing whatever. And ultimately, that is just not the case. Like, it's just not the case. And I'm not going to argue with anyone like about their visions or whatever. Like, that's totally chill. And if you're not hurting anyone for whatever reason, that's totally fine. But when you get into this whole subset of people that are like, you can be trapped in a dream for years. Like, you cannot say that to people. What are you doing? You're going to freak people out. People are gullible and trusting, and they will believe you. And you need to be aware of these facts when you're talking to other people, especially people who don't know a lot about lucid dreaming or dreams in general, or like whatever. Like, you can't freak people out like that for no reason, because no, you cannot be trapped in a dream for years. Like, you will wake up eventually. And false awakening experiences are very scary and all that stuff. Like, I've had a couple false awakenings. I had a recent one where a possum was trying to break into my room, and I was hitting it with a pillow, and I woke up in my bed again, confused, because I thought that I was at the window hitting the possum, but I was actually back in my bed. So I get it, okay? Like, false awakenings happen, all this stuff happens, but the truth remains the same regardless of your experiences. And you can't be trapped in a dream for years. You can't even be trapped in a dream for days. Like, it's only as long as the dream is, which typically is not even a very long time. Especially when you're lucid, because then you can also just change what's in the dream. But people forget that as well. And that's fine, but regardless of all of that, it is a very mean myth to spread around, and I don't appreciate it when people do so, because it's very unkind to spread that lie. Now, one of the most critical, scary lucid dreaming myths out there, I think, is the idea that if you die in a lucid dream, you could die in real life. And this dream is inspired by many things, or not this dream, sorry, this idea is inspired by many things, obviously. And of course, some of it comes from like the more spiritual aspects of dreaming and lucid dreams and like that whole community. Like, of course, they would say that, like, and like, I agree that like your mind and body are like tethered in certain ways, you know. But I would not say that dying in a lucid dream has any effect on like your ability to just suddenly die in real life. Like, that's a crazy thing to just throw out there that people really just say. And again, I think it's something harmful that damages the reputation of lucid dreaming itself, which can be something that is very much healthy for people mentally and like has a lot of mental health benefits. And saying stuff like this can scare people away from ever even trying it because they're so freaked out, and you did that to them. Like, they would not have been scared about that if you hadn't told them that. So in those cases, it ultimately falls on you that someone misses out on those sorts of benefits because of something that you said to them. And it's simply not true. I have died in many lucid dreams, and most of the time they are in incredible cinematic ways, and I'm like watching myself die, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is so beautiful. Obviously there have been nightmares where I've died. Like, I just talked about the one where I was dying in like a little musical dream, which was not a fun one, but and I didn't actually die in that one because it ended when I was sobbing, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, this is something that I've had experience with personally, like many of these things, and I'm okay. Like, I'm alive. I made it. I'm sure that many of you have died in a dream, if not a lucid dream, and if you can hear me now, then you also survived it. So it's a scary experience, and you shouldn't undermine the fact that it was scary for someone. Like, it's totally okay that you got freaked out in a dream because something happened and you're like, oh my gosh, like, am I okay? Like, it's totally fine to have that moment, but it's not okay to freak out other people and make them have bad experiences, because sometimes by telling someone that something's going to happen in a dream or say it could happen, you ultimately make it happen for them, and then you just gave them a nightmare. Like, single-handedly, so easy, in like a couple sentences, you just like induced a night of terror for someone, which totally sucks. So that's a lot of myths that we managed to go over, and I think that was a pretty fun story time. And I think that overall, that's kind of everything that I wanted to like include in this little spooky episode. In terms of like future episodes that are gonna come out next, I would really like to get to like a little book club episode. And I know that that's not everyone's cup of tea, but the books that I've read are a rather large part of the dreams that I have, as were demonstrated in the dream at the beginning of the episode, where I was talking about House of Salt and Sorrows and Sorcery of Thorns. Like, my books matter to me a lot, and sometimes they're actually physically manifested in the dream. Like, I'll be carrying them, or I'll have to like save them from a house fire, like whatever. They are physical, real guests in my dreams because they're very valuable to me. And also sometimes the characters will make appearances, which I've mentioned before. And so I want to do like a little book club episode. And that is especially because people are always like, oh my gosh, like, how do I make my dreams more interesting? Like, you know, how are your dreams so fun and all this stuff? Like, you know, guys, I've really kept my imagination alive. And sometimes that concerns me a little bit because I talk to other people and I'm like, wow, like your imagination has died. That's pretty brutal, but mine is alive and well. And I would really like to do an episode where I talk about some of my favorite books and some books that people can read if they want to get into like more of that imagination and stuff like that. And I think that that would be just like a fun episode, especially for me. So that episode is like a gift to myself, and I will enjoy every single minute of it. Like, you guys will hear me like screeching, like my voice is gonna pitch like it does when I get all excited. So it'll be a fun episode. Honestly, even if you don't pick up any of the books, it'll probably be fun just to listen to me have fun in the episode. So I want to do that one soon. And other than that, I have a couple other ones in my notes that I'm planning to do that I think will be fun. And in the meantime, I just ask everyone else to continue being cool, continue keeping up with your dream journals, and don't manifest nightmares for other people. Even though it's like Halloween right now, and it's kind of like that little spooky era for people, don't do that. Because if you want to scare yourself, that's okay. But if you want to scare other people, that's not nice. And that's something that I would say to the kids at the daycare that I work at, because ultimately, everyone is just a child. And with those profound, but also probably a little bit incorrect words, I'm going to end this recording. And I'm going to thank you all so much for listening. I would like to shout out my patrons, because I asked them to give me feedback on this episode, and it was received before it was recorded, because I asked them about the topics. So this has been another really, really, really long sign-off for me, but thank you to my patrons, thank you to everyone for listening, and keep an eye out, okay? Because we're about to hit the first 50,000 listens of the Dream On podcast. And for that, I'm going to do something very special. So keep an ear out and keep an eye out. And I will see, you guys will hear me in the next episode. Goodbye, guys, and dream on, but no nightmares.